Our text once again. Remember, we're talking about abiding in the worship.
Yes.
The worship. John chapter number 4. John chapter number 4, before the ladies come up and sing. John chapter number 4, and we're going to pick it up in verse number 12. John chapter number 4, we've covered some of this already. We're going to be in the worship today, and then we'll be finishing this up next week. Amen. By the way, worship is a very important part of being a Christian. Did you know that? Amen. God desires us to worship Him, and we should want to worship Him. People worship a whole lot of things. Amen. Green Bay Packers, Chicago Bears. Amen. Sports, cars, people. But God wants us to worship Him. Amen. And that should be the ultimate goal while we come to the house of God. John chapter number 4, and pick it up with me in verse number 12. I'm going to read and then ask you to join in with me down the way a little bit. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Now, this is the woman at the well dialoguing with our Lord. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is a place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. And by the way, that hour is now. Read with me in verse number 24 together. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. I'm going to use this area once again this morning and look at some hindrances to worship, or why some people can't seem to worship God. And there's a lot of different reasons, and I don't have time to cover them all, but we will look at some as we get down to the crux of the matter, which will be verse 24, which we'll kind of go through that in detail next week. But we want to look at some hindrances that are in this woman's life that oftentimes are in our lives as well, if the truth be known. Amen. Brother Neil touched upon some of that this morning. We come in to the house of God, and many things that can pull at us, and we have to on purpose separate those things. See, I'm not going to worry about that right now. I'm going to worry about what God has. By the way, all of us have problems. Everybody's got something that they're going through right now, but this is the most important time. This is the time we want to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for this dialogue with the woman at the well. Lord, so many things are represented in our lives here that we can draw from. And Lord, I pray that as we look at the Word of God this morning, that you might speak to our hearts and reveal to us distractions that may be there, or why sometimes we can't worship coming into the house of God. And then, Lord, make a concerted effort to devote every ounce of our being and our strength to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we know that in this fleshly body, we cannot render the appropriate worship that you deserve and desire, but help us do the best that we can by the Spirit's power to do what you would have us to do. One day we'll worship you because we'll see you as you are, because we'll be like you are. Lord, until that day, help us to put aside distractions, to put aside anything, and to worship you in spirit and in truth. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Again, there's one lost amongst us. I pray that that heart would be revealed to the Holy Spirit, and that person would respond to the Spirit's call and the conviction. and be converted to the will of God. They might be saved, for it's everlasting too late. And for Christians, God, help us to find distractions, put them away, and Lord, worship you in spirit and in truth. Bless now the morning service, and we'll thank you for what you've done and what you will do in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You may be seated. We do have a special this morning. By the way, when we come into the house of God, it should be to become more like Jesus, amen? To learn more about him. We sing this song, More About Jesus, amen? And that should be what happens when we come into the house of God, amen? Well, so far we've been looking at worship, and if you're looking behind me, these are some of the ships that we're going to be talking about abiding in throughout this year, and worship is one of those ships. We actually began talking about relationship, and you've got to start with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? You must be born again, he told Nicodemus. And so I've got to have a relationship and get in that ship. Then we talked about stewardship. Once a person gets saved, they ought to start tithing off their gross and not the net. Amen. They ought to start giving to God. You say, preacher, giving Not me, yes you. By the way, you know that God never asked a heathen to give to make the temple back in the Old Testament? And you don't find a Jesus going out to the heathen folk to collect an offering? When he wanted to feed the 5,000, he took up someone that was in the group, amen? He didn't go say, find somebody out there, one of them lost people, and give up some money, amen? And so stewardship should come right after the relationship, and we should start giving, amen? And now we're talking about worship. God desires our worship. And by the way, we should desire to worship him. Amen. Now, if you think about the Gospel of John, there is a striking contrast between chapter 3 and chapter 4. In chapter 3, we meet who? Nicodemus. What does he do? He comes to Jesus by night. In chapter 4, we meet the woman at the well. Guess what? Comes to her by day. And there is a striking contrast between the two. By the way, do you know that Jesus desires to worship with you? And he wants you to worship him? And by the way, we can worship a whole lot of things. But God took special time in chapter 3 for Nicodemus and special time in chapter number 4 to help out of this woman at the well. It's amazing. Jesus has two totally different conversations and two totally different conversions. John Phillips puts it this way, detailing Nicodemus and the woman at Samaria, the differences. He says, one was a man, the other was a woman. You know what that tells me? Doesn't matter what your gender is. He says, one was a Jew, the other was a Samaritan. That tells me it doesn't matter what religion you are. One was a respected ruler, the other a social outcast. That means I don't care where you're at on the social ladder, Jesus wants you. Amen. The one was seen as a moral man, the other as an immoral woman. So it doesn't matter how bad you are or how good you are, you need Jesus. Amen. The one came to Jesus by night, the other came at midday. The one had no arguments, only wondering how. The other was full of questions and debate. That was me. I had so many questions and so many debates why this had to be the way. Why did Jesus have to be the way? Why couldn't Islam be the way? Why couldn't Catholicism be the way? Why couldn't Jehovah's Witnesses be the way? Why couldn't the Mormons be the way? Why couldn't I be my own way? And by the way, people are still thinking that way today. Amen. One was cautious, the other was bold. The one did not seem to know what he wanted. The other knew only too well what she needed. The one fades out of the story unnoticed. The other went back to her crowd and brought them all to Jesus. The one we hear of again, that's Nicodemus in John 7 and 19. The other fades into women's usual invisibility in the patriarchal society. Yet Jesus took time out for both. And yea, I dare say, if you're here today and you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, he took time out for you. Amen. Hey, he took time out for this debating heathen who thought he knew the Bible, who had read the Bible, who used to pray every night, who went to Sunday school, who used to give, who used to sit in Sunday school, who used to memorize scriptures, who used to get this, read scriptures in front of the church to people, who used to sing in the choir. Just because you sing in the choir doesn't make you saved. Amen. There are a lot of good lost people in the choir. Amen. Hey, I did all of that stuff, but guess what? I was still lost. Wasn't until I developed a relationship with Almighty God through humbling myself and saying, Lord Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God saved me February 3rd, 1991. And I went into the relationship and I got into the stewardship and I found out that God wants me in the worship. And by the way, he wants you in the worship too. And that's what we're talking about today. Why some can't worship or some hindrances to worship. What does worship mean, preacher? Let's cover this again. It means to prostrate oneself in homage or to do reverence. It means to honor, praise, and adore someone who is worthy of such honor. By the way, who's worthy? Jesus is worthy. The angel sing, thou art worthy to receive glory and honor. Originally, the word was worth ship to show that the one being honored was worthy of praise or assigning to God his true worth. I said this and I'll say it again. Our highest motive to attend church should be to worship Almighty God. Yes, we learn. And yes, we give. And yes, we do. And yes, we serve. But our highest motive to attend church should be to worship Almighty God. There's nothing more important during worship services than our focus on our Lord, not our circumstances, situations, people, or problems. By the way, when it comes over to Mary and Martha, what did Jesus say? She had chosen the better part or the best part, sitting at the feet of Jesus, hearing his word, worshiping him, and Martha was busy serving. Are both needed? Yes, but one you cannot do without, and that is worship of Almighty God. Worship of Almighty God. And so John chapter 4, we opened up and we began to see in verses 1 through 4, the course of the Savior, the course of the Savior. Notice down there, the Bible says he must needs go through Samaria down there in verse number 4. And then down in verses 5 and 6, we begin to see this conversation that begins to develop between Jesus and the woman at the well. And we mentioned this, that some people have to avoid people, places, and problems on Sunday morning, amen, just to be able to worship Almighty God, amen. Hey, I mentioned to you, I don't answer my cell phone on Sunday morning. I don't try to read mail on Sunday mornings. I don't try to do anything. I don't even look at the news on Sunday morning. You say, well, preacher, is it a sin? No, it's not a sin, but it just distracts me. And you may be able to read the news and look at the newspaper and come and worship God, amen. But I'm just thinking about, oh, Lord, we need to pray for President Trump. Glory to God. He's bad news, amen. Hey, but wait a minute. The Bible says we ought to pray for him anyway. And I don't do certain things. And so he must needs go through Samaria. Amen. And by the way, when you come down here in verse number 6, it says, now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey. Let me tell you something. Sometimes God's people come into the house of God and we're flat tired. Somebody say amen. I know sometimes I come in and I'm tired. You say, preacher, but it's Sunday morning. But yeah, we get busy on Saturday. You come in on a Wednesday night. You've been working all day. You've been out there with the world. And man, you come in on Wednesday and you're flat tired. Jesus was weary with his journey. It's okay to be tired. It's okay. You say, preacher, I'm tired. It's okay. Just don't major on it. Sometimes we come in and, hey, brother, sister, how you doing? I'm just tired. Well, yeah, but you don't have to be grumpy and grouchy about it. Amen. Jesus was weary too. He had time for the woman at the well. Amen. It's all in how you do it. Amen. Mrs. Baldwin, bless her heart, she had told me and my wife one time, it's not how you handle yourself so much, but it's about your disposition, how you look to people, how you treat people. Amen. You can be tired. Was Jesus tired? Yes, he was. But you don't see him say, give me some water, woman. My disciples are gone somewhere. Somebody need to give me something. No, he doesn't say that at all. He engages in conversation with her. And so we see the course of the Savior. He must needs go through Samaria. Then down in verse number 7, we saw some of the reasons why people can't worship, or some hindrances to worship. And we saw that sometimes worship becomes predictable. Notice verse number 7. We said this last week. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. She did this all the time. And sometimes worship can become predictable if we're not careful. By the way, do we know where we're going to be on Sunday? Yes, we know. Do we know where we're going to be Sunday night? Yes, we know. Do we know where we're going to be on Wednesday? Yes, we know. And sometimes it can become predictable, just like going to work or going to school. Well, we're going to school. Well, we're going to work, and it becomes predictable. It should never be predictable when we come to God's house, because there may be somebody that God wants to use in your life, or he wants to use you in someone else's life. In this woman's case, God said, hey, look, Jesus is going to come in here and do a work in this woman's life. And sometimes hindrances can be because we're just so predictable and we really don't expect God to work. Oh, perish the thought. Did you come today expecting God to work in your life? Or did you just come to get past the sermon, to get past tonight's sermon, to eat with Brianna? Come on now. Sometimes that's it. Well, the excitement is Brianna's fellowship tonight. No, the excitement is Jesus, because without Jesus, there wouldn't be a fellowship for Brianna. Amen.
We're fellowshipping because she got saved. She joined God's family. She's a part of the body of Christ, amen. And she's leaving, and we're celebrating because God gave us such a tremendous time with her during her time here. But oftentimes we look past the time of God and past the time of worship to a fellowship when that should not be the height of our day. The height of our day should be every time we meet with Jesus. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Why? We get closer to being with him. Now, I'm not downplaying the time with Brianna tonight. I'm looking forward to that too. But I'm not going to bypass this morning or the evening sermon to get to it. And sometimes we become predictable. Then we looked at sometimes worship can be hindered by particulars. Verses 8 and 9, it says down there, his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria to him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And so she begins to bring up the Jew question, what religion you're in, the gender. I'm a woman, you're a male, geography. I'm from Samaria. And it really doesn't matter. Jesus doesn't care where you're from. He doesn't care whether you're a man or a woman. He doesn't care what your religious background is. He just wants you to be born again. Amen. It doesn't matter. Now, once you get born again, it does matter. Amen. You should follow the correct doctrine once you get born again. But before then, Jesus is not occupied with your religion, how, what sex you are, gender you are, any of that stuff. Amen. By the way, they're trying to pass a bill in California. And they're trying to make it illegal for you to counsel anyone that's a homosexual. So you could not take the Bible and counsel someone and say, you're not a lesbian, you're not a homosexual, sodomy is wrong. You couldn't do that legally. And they're trying to pass that in California. If they pass it in California, woe unto us, because it's coming here soon. And that means if somebody comes to me and says, well, I'm gay, I could not legally, by the Bible, take and show them where God says they're wrong. Now, by God, I could show them. And God is higher than any court, amen. But they're trying to make it difficult for you and I, as God's people, to use the truth of the word of God so that people can worship God in spirit and in truth and not in a lie, amen. And so y'all pray for California, amen, and pray for Arizona. And so he has to get past these hindrances as well. And so when you looked at it, we can't worship sometimes because we're too predictable. Sometimes we're hindered by particulars. And then verses 10 and 11, some can't worship because of possessions. Notice verse number 10. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that saith that he give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him and he would have given thee living water. And notice the reply. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Worship can be hindered by possessions. She begins to immediately look at the material. Well, you're asking for water, but you don't have anything to draw with. Well, if you come in for water, I'm sure you do. But she's looking at what Jesus has, looking at the material. Sometimes people can't worship because they can't get past the material. Amen. The material, say, what are you talking about, the material? Well, preacher, you don't got any drums in that church, so I can't worship there. Well, you don't have any guitars there, so I cannot worship. You don't have a worship team and a worship leader. Y'all don't wave your hands up in the air like this. Y'all don't get up there and say, thou art worthy. Lord, y'all, your lights are too bright in here, and it's too white. The walls are too white. I can't even nod off and go to sleep. This is not a nightclub. We don't turn the lights down for you. I mean, I've walked into some church and I thought, am I in church or am I in a nightclub? I mean, the lights are dim. The seats go way back. And you're thinking, whoa, they even rock. And that'll put me to sleep real quick. We're not trying to make the pews uncomfortable. We don't want you to come in here to fall asleep. Amen. We want you to come in and worship God and do business with him. Amen. But she's looking at the material. She says, you don't have anything to draw with. I'm sure if Jesus wants to make something appear out of nowhere, he can do that. Amen. But her worship is being hindered by material possessions. Amen. Some folks say, well, you're not live broadcasted. You don't have a blog. Amen. You don't have a movie screen. There are no pictures here. There's no videos. There's nothing back here to attract my attention. Jesus should attract our attention. Amen. My pastor used to say back in Belgium, he said, if you get them with a hot dog, you got somebody to steal them with a hamburger, amen? Hey, if I get you with Jesus, I'll keep you with Jesus because I'm not giving you anything else. I've got nothing else to give you but Jesus. Him crucified, him buried, him risen again for the Savior of the world, amen? I don't have anything else to give you. Now, do I put something up there? Every now and again, amen? But not often, amen? But she can't get past the possessions here. Some people cannot worship because they can't get past possessions. They look at what the church doesn't have as opposed to what the church does have. They come in looking for a big Mississippi Mass choir or Brooklyn Tabernacle choir. They come looking for a piano and the drums and the worship team back there. And they're clapping their hands. And they're getting with it. And then the preacher comes up and they all go, No. I think we're majoring on the wrong thing. I think we ought to major on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think the last time I checked, the worship team never saved anybody. Last time I checked, the worship leader never saved anybody. The drums didn't save anybody. The guitars didn't save anybody. I'm not against those things, but those things don't save. Only Jesus Christ. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw them into myself. I've got to lift up Jesus. He's got to be the one. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. And folks, sometimes we can't worship because we're looking at possessions. She's looking at this dipping cup and says, you don't have anything to dip with. Well, some can't worship because they're hindered by possessions. Some can't worship because they're hindered by particulars. Some can't worship because they're just too predictable. But then some can't worship because they're hindered by people. Notice verse number 12. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Some are hindered by people. She's looking at people's greatness. Now, I'm not minimizing the fact that Jacob was great. But he's not greater than Jesus. And she's talking to Jesus. And Jesus is trying to walk her to get her to a point and to a place. And she's bringing up people. And sometimes we can't get away from people and personalities and who they are and what they do. Charles Haddon Spurgeon is quoted by saying, I forget what the preacher's name is. Some people may preach the gospel better than me, but they will never preach a better gospel than me. Because the gospel never changes. One may be more eloquent, amen, like Apollos. One may be more seasoned and a veteran like Peter. But Paul said, one man planted, another man watered, but God gives the increase. Last time I checked, amen. She's caught up on people. And how often do we come in and say, well, he doesn't preach like my old pastor? You know what? Maybe it's because I'm not your old pastor. Yeah, there you go. Well, he doesn't shout and hoop and holler like my old pastor. It's probably because he's not like your old pastor. Well, my old pastor had more hair than him. Probably because your old pastor wasn't me. Well, my old pastor didn't look like him. Well, I hope not. When God made me, he broke the mold. Amen. You said, I'm glad he did. I am too. Amen. I couldn't stand another one of me walking around here. Amen. But some people get so hung up on people. Well, you're not like Paul Chappell. Well, I hope not because I'm not Paul Chappell. You're not like Jack Howes. Well, I hope not. I'm not Jack Howes. Not as old as him either. Not as dead as him either. Amen. Well, you're not like Curtis Hudson. Well, I'm not Curtis Hudson. Well, you're not like Dr. Nelson. Well, I'm not Dr. Nelson. Well, you're not like Jimmy Watson. I'm too dark. Amen. What am I saying? Some people get caught up on people. She brings up Jacob. Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Yes, he is. Which gave us this well, gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle. Sometimes we can get caught up on people to our demise because we look at the messenger instead of the message. And because the messenger doesn't give the message like another messenger, I can't receive it. God could use a chicken, if he could use a donkey, I'm sure he could use any messenger that's preaching the word of God in spirit and in truth. And yes, he can even use a Chicago Bears fan, Brother Neil. So your preacher's been since 1985. That's beside the point. The gospel has been since the beginning. Amen. It still works. It still saves. Chicago will come and go as a team, amen. But the gospel will always be ready, amen. And so some people are hindered by people. She said, are you greater than our father Jacob? So some are worse, can't worship because they're hindered by people. Some worshipers, would-be worshipers, are hindered by their past. Notice verse 13 down through 18. Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. The water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water. So Jesus gives her of this deal. He says, hey, I may not have anything to draw with, but let me tell you something here. If you drink of the water that's here, you're going to be thirsty again. But I've got something that you'll never be thirsty. By the way, if Jesus quenches your thirst, my friend, you won't be thirsty again. Amen. Once I've been saved, I don't desire to be saved again. Why? It's everlasting. You find people, I got to get saved again this week. Why? I lost my salvation. I'm so glad I don't have that. Well, I got to get baptized again. Why? Well, the first baptism didn't work. Well, I'm glad I don't have that. Well, I got to come over here and repent of my sins because, you know, I got to get reborn again. Amen. I'm glad what I have is forever, and I don't have to thirst for salvation ever again. I have it. And guess what? Everything about salvation is in me with the Spirit of God and with the Word of God, and I just need more of the Word of God, not more of the Spirit of God. He's just got to get all of me. Amen. Say, preacher, why? Because I take him back all the time. I get this area cleaned up in my life, then I let it back out to sin. Get this area cleaned out, now let it back out to sin. Get this area cleaned out, now let it back out to sin. Don't look at me all pious. Y'all do the same thing. You confess it today and you let it back out to the devil tomorrow. Come down to an old-fashioned altar and somebody took, then hit your car in the parking lot, now you're in the flesh already. Say, preacher, no, nobody would do that. Surely not. What am I saying? He said, it'll be a well springing up into everlasting life. Woman said unto him, sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Amen. I would say the same thing. Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. So in other words, Jesus is getting her in this conversation saying, hey, look, go call your husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, you spoke that truth. And she thinks she's covered up. But guess what? Be sure your sins will find you out. What am I saying? Sometimes people come into, now I don't know about you, Brother Neil, but the first time I came into that church, February 3rd, 1991, I came in with a whole trainload of sin. And I sat down there in the front row. Bless me if you can, preacher. With all my sin, what you gonna do? And little by little, the Holy Spirit began to name every sin that I had done. And as he's shucking the corn up there, I'm sinking lower and lower and lower and lower in the chair and lower and lower and lower. And then he started getting onto the sins that I was presently doing. Already had dealt with my past sins, and now he started dealing with the sins that I was doing. I thought, I can't get any lower. But I went lower and lower and lower. And I thought, glory to God. And then I began thinking, if I can just get out of this church, I ain't never coming again. Then he hit that one. Some of you are thinking, if I could just get out of this church, I'm thinking lower and lower and lower. And I thought, glory to God, Lord, what's going on? What had happened? The Spirit of God was convicting my soul and revealing every past sin that I had done and the wickedness of every deed, and came to the present and said, this is who you are. This is what you're thinking about. And this is what's going on in your life. And then went to the future and said, this is what you're thinking about doing. And my friend, if you don't turn your course, you're going to hell. And I got scared. I got scared. And I sat there shaking in my boots, didn't think I could go any longer. Then he gave the invitation. And I started thinking, well, I think I'm already saved. After your past sin and wickedness, after what you're presently thinking and your potential future, you think you're saved, but a lot of people do. Amen. And I thought I was, but I was too afraid to take a chance. I grabbed my wife's hand, and we went to the preacher. Hey, preacher, what's all this stuff about heaven and hell? He said, you want to go to heaven? I sure don't want to go to hell. That's a foolish question. You just beat me up with my past and with my present, and you told me about my potential future, what that's going to be like. I don't want that. And I got saved. You'd be surprised, people that walk into church, and God will reveal to them their sin. Preacher doesn't have, by the way, I don't have enough time to go and investigate on every one of you throughout the week to see what you're doing. Ooh, let me see. Ooh, I got some dirt on Susie. Yeah. Got some dirt on the Duffies. Ooh, I got some dirt on Natasha. Got some dirt on the Apontes. I got good material now. And some of y'all are doing this. And some of y'all are doing this. And some of y'all are doing this. And the rest of y'all are doing this and that. I don't have time for that. I got my own sin to worry about. I don't have time to chase after you and name your sins. But when God does it, guess what? That's more important. Because I don't have a clue what you're doing or what you're thinking. That preacher, and he preached that day, didn't have a clue. This woman at the well, she doesn't have a clue that Jesus is God. And he knows what she's doing. That's why he said, go grab your husband. Verse 16, Jesus said unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. Woman answered, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands. Ooh, man. And they could have been dead. You never know. She could be just, a widower. And he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. Worship can be hindered by past. Some people come in the house of God and they think, well, because of my past marriages that failed, I can't be saved. Yes, you can. They come and they think, because I got past mistakes, I can't be saved. Yes, you can. They think, well, because I've got some past misfortunes that happened, I didn't mean for it to turn out that way. I didn't mean for that to happen, but it did. Yes, you can. Had a buddy of mine that his son was in a car with his girlfriend and he had a gun. The gun slipped out and shot his girlfriend and killed him. They tried to get him for a homicide, but he got him for manslaughter because his story just seemed foggy. And he came to me and said, well, what do I do? First thing, you need to be saved. God is not going to hold your misfortunes against you because you've got sin. You're born in sin, and you need to get saved. But people come and say, well, I've got all these misfortunes. All these things happen. Well, the Bible calls that sin. And it said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it said, the wages of sin is death. But hallelujah, the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ. And anyone that has misfortunes or past marriages or past mistakes can come to the Lord Jesus Christ and can be saved. But some are looking to conceal sin and they cannot worship. She's looking to conceal sin. She's not going to divulge to Jesus about her marital status. Jesus said, go call your husband. She just said, I don't have one. Jesus said, you're right. You had five and the one that you got right now is not your husband. Trying to conceal. You can't conceal anything from God. By the way, don't come to the house of God trying to worship God, knowing you're concealing sin. It doesn't work. But people do it week after week. God is pointing at your sin and pointing at your sin and pointing at your sin and pointing at your sin. You say, well, I wonder what you're pointing at. It must be that brother behind me. It must be that sister behind me. Well, if they ever get right with God, they could probably do something for the Lord. How about that he's speaking to you? How about that he's talking to you? Remember when God was calling me to preach? My wife was on me, and it seemed like everybody else was saying, aren't you called to preach? Aren't you called to preach? And I just wanted people to leave me alone. If God's calling, he'll send me a letter in the mail. God's calling me, he'll make it clear to me. Brother, I went all the way down to Italy. And a preacher there said, aren't you called a priest? Didn't know me from Adam. I couldn't run. But I wasn't going to be mama called and papa sent. I wasn't going to be man called, Brother Watson. I said, God's going to make it absolutely clear to me that he's calling me. And he did. I was standing in the pulpit. I remember like it was yesterday. And I was challenging people on a sermon called, Is God Calling You? And it was as if God just audibly said to me, yes, I'm calling you. When are you going to surrender? And if I could have shrunk and run out of that pulpit at that time, I was in tears. And I said, God, all this time you've been calling me, and I thought it was somebody else, and I thought it was this, and I thought it was that, and I didn't want to be this fake preacher. I didn't want to be this person that's called by you that's going to give up and go and tuck his tail and run. And God, I don't want to be like this preacher over here, and I don't want to be like this. I want to make sure. And God said, are you sure now? And I said, yes, I'm sure. And guess what? I surrendered. And the joy of the Lord became my strength. I was excited as I could, if I had good sense. But you know, sometimes we have our past, and we can't worship because of our past mistakes, past mishaps, misfortunes, mistakes, whatever. And sometimes our past haunts us. We bring yesterday's past life into today's present life, and we just need to confess it and let it go. Show you a scripture. Go over to Lamentations. See what Jeremiah said about that. Lamentations chapter 3. Because this woman is trying to bring up her past. Or trying not to bring up her past, but Jesus brings it up. In Lamentations chapter number 3. Notice what the Bible says down in verse number 21. Jeremiah said, This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. I'm so glad for the compassion of God. Amen. It says down there, they are new every morning. Don't worry about bringing yesterday's problems in today for worship, because his mercies are new every morning. He says, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. When we come here, we should be seeking to worship and praise God. Don't worry about your past. Don't worry about what happened yesterday. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow may never come. Worship God today. Why? That's what he wants from you. And oftentimes God is poking and prodding and saying, I want your worship. I want your worship. And we're busy looking at this person and looking at that person and looking behind us. And we're failing to see that God wants our attention. Some can't worship because they're busy covering up sin, shacking up, fornicating, lying, stealing, not honoring parents. The past, she says, hey, I don't have a husband. Jesus said, you've well said, the one that you have right now is not yours. Then notice verse number 19. Not only can people hinder us sometimes, not only can possessions hinder us sometimes, not only can particulars hinder us sometimes, or being predictable, but in verse number 19, perceptions. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Now, Jesus hadn't said anything to her at all about that. I don't know about you, but I was raised in a traditional black church. I didn't have a clue about independent, fundamental Baptist churches. Didn't have a clue. Only thing I knew is that this guy that was witnessing to me said, you need to come to my church, need to come to my church, need to come to my church, need to come to my church. He never once said anything about independent, never said anything about fundamental, but I caught Baptist. And he was black. And so I went to the church. And when I walked in the church, guess what color the pastor was? Black. And so being from my traditional background, and normally what I would hear would be music first, sermon for about an hour and 15 minutes on nothing. And the preacher came up, introduced things, the choir sang, and they didn't wave their hands like they just don't care. They didn't have on some robes. I don't have anything against robes. They're good to wear at nighttime. They didn't have on robes. They didn't have a guitar over here. They didn't have the drums over there. Nothing what I was used to, but they sang and the message hit my heart. And it touched my soul. And it made me think about God Almighty. Not in an oozy-goozy way. In a reverential way. And then the preacher did something that I had never seen. This was the normal method in my church. They would read a scripture, and they would close it
And they would say something to this effect, "Oh, I got a message for you today." And they would never refer back to what they just read. And they would ramble on about everything politically under the sun. And they would touch upon some sin here or some sin here that a politician that was doing or something like that. And then they would give an invitation to open up the doors of the church and say, "You want to join the church? Come on down." And I came down one day when I was about 9 or 10. And they said, "You believe Jesus Christ, Son of God?" I said, "Yes." They said, "You believe that God raised from the dead?" I said, "Yes." They said, "Amen, you can get baptized." And that was my salvation. That was the church that I was raised in. So when I came to this independent fundamental Baptist church, I perceived that I was going to find the same thing. But the pastor opened up the Bible and he spoke on the parable of the sower. And my heart began to sink lower and lower, as I said before. And I began to see my need for a Savior, and my perceptions of him went away. And after a while, I didn't see him. Say, "Preacher, we saw, I saw the Lord." And I saw myself hanging in a balance. And in that balance, I was in jeopardy. And that balance was going down, down, down. And I saw God saying, "Son, do you want to be saved? Do you want to get out of this predicament?" And I said, "Yes, I do." He said, "Well, you need to do something about it today. I can't do it for you, but you can do something about it." And my friend, I went and did something about it that day. I'd never heard of independent fundamental Baptist church. I perceived something totally different than what was. The gospel got to my heart. This woman said, "I perceive." She had some perceptions. And sometimes folks can't worship because they can't get past the perception of the messenger. Tell you who did get past it, the people in Nineveh. I don't think Jonah came out looking like he had just come from the world's best dressed place. He had just gotten spit out of a well, but guess what? He came preaching repentance, and guess what? The king on down got right with God. And I don't think he came out well dressed at all. So it's not about perceptions, it's about the message. And the message is the Messiah. And the Messiah wants worship. And he wants your worship, but some are hindered, amen. Let me show you what some people can fall into. Go over to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. 2 Kings chapter number 5. And you know the guy, his name is Naaman. 2 Kings chapter number 5. Some people can't worship because of perceptions. They took one look at you or me and then they draw a perception. But in 2 Kings, we find Naaman here, a leper. And he asks the man of God to cleanse him. Or the king, I should say, asks him to cleanse him. Come over to 2 Kings chapter number 5 and come down to verse number 10 with me. Because Elisha sends a messenger. And he says, "Okay, you got leprosy. All right, just you go out and jump in the lake and 7 times you'll be fine." And he said, "Jump in the lake? Man, it's dirty. Jordan is so dirty. I don't want to go in there. Couldn't I, go over to the Ramada Inn and get in the swimming pool over there? Can I go down to Holiday Inn and get over, at least go down to this place over here? Aren't these places better?" He had a perception of what the man of God should do. Moses says, verse number 10, "Elisha sent a messenger unto him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times and his flesh shall come again to thee. Thou shalt be clean. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought," notice that, I thought, people coming to church, "Well, I thought the preacher should have said it this way. I thought he should have said it this way. Well, I thought he should have been, well, if it was me, I would have said it, but it's not you. And when it's you, you say it the way God tells you. But until that point, let the preacher, let the messenger say it the way God laid upon his heart. We are so busy trying to correct the messenger. Well, I wouldn't say that way. I was the preacher. Well, you're not the preacher, nor are you the preacherette. Well, he should have said it like this. Whoopie-doo. God has this man exactly where he wants him to say what he wants him to say. Now, are we politically correct all the time? No, we're not. But if you check some of the prophets, neither were they. Amen. But God spoke to them. And so he had his perceptions. Notice what he says down there in verse number 11. But Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hands over the place and recover the leper. And the people just had one reason with him. Now, if he told you to go and do this, what did you do? He just asked you to go jump in the lake. Come on. Come on. And reluctantly he did. I don't know about you, but reluctantly, I came forward in the service at the end.
Say, preacher, why reluctant? Because I had already had a perception. Last time I went forward, they asked me, do I believe in Jesus Christ and God? The last time I went forward, they said, you believe God raised from dead? And I said, amen. They baptized me. I was reluctant to go forward. I had perceptions. What's going to happen? And then they took me to another room. Oh, they're going to beat me with a hose or something. Yeah. And then they opened up the Bible. And then they asked me, did I want to be saved? And I thought, what do I need to do? He said, you need to understand that you're a sinner. All that sin had come, but I'm a good person. Now, he didn't laugh, but he should have. I give to the church a quarter every day. I sing in the choir. I wear a robe. I read scriptures in front of the church. I know some of the Ten Commandments. And I actually can keep one or two. I'm not so bad. I'm a member of a church. I got baptized. Sound familiar? All kind of excuses that people give. I had a perception that if I come forward, what's going to happen? Naaman said, if I do this, what's going to happen? Jesus said, she said, I perceive, amen. By the way, perceptions can be wrong, but when it comes to Jesus Christ, they are absolutely true. He is God. He is the Messiah. He is Almighty. He did die for our sins. He was buried. He did rise 3 days again. He is coming again, and he will save you if you ask. And he does want your worship. Back over there with this woman at the well, she said, I perceive. Some folks can't worship because they come in with perceptions already. Much like Naaman and many other worshipers who come. I thought the preacher would speak in tongues. I thought he'd lay his hands on me. I thought he would sing and preach at the same time. I thought he would, and I've heard this one, be more black. I don't think I can be any more blacker than I am. But I've had that charge laid against me. Well, you're not black enough for me. Well, I'm black enough for me. By the way, if you look at my grandfather was white. Oh, he was. I'm sitting on his knee as a little tyke, and my grandfather's white. So I'm black and white. Huh, take that. There you go. I'm whitish. But some folks can't get past that. I actually had someone say, oh, what y'all preach over there? What do you mean, what y'all preach? Jesus! You think we preach? Some folks can't get past perceptions, amen. And folks, I hate to say it, but I've had people actually leave the church because somebody told them that I was black. And they came and saw that I was black. But somebody else told them that I was black and they left. Didn't you see me when you came? And they told you I was black, and that's why you're not coming back? Something's wrong with that. But we care more about what people think. What people think. Perceptions. Perceptions. Well, we're going to wrap this up, folks. Then there's places of tradition. Notice verse 20. Back over in John chapter 4. Why some can't worship. Worship can be hindered by perceptions, but in verse 20, places of tradition, she says down there, verse number 20, our fathers worshiped in this mountain, and yet you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. She's focused on tradition rather than truth. She's focused on where their fathers worshiped at, and many can't worship because of tradition, of what they're used to and what they have gone through and what's happened. And if you don't do certain things, someone said, well, do you have a liturgy there? I said, do I have what? Or do you have a liturgy? If some of y'all are from the Catholic background, you know what I'm talking about, amen? Do you have this program that you go through every day when they chant and they go back and forth and down and the priest says something about, do you have a liturgy? I said, we have a bulletin. And it's got the order of services in there. And then we took that out. I don't want to be too predictable. But you don't have a liturgy? No, but you can type one up yourself and bring it with you. And you can pencil some stuff down. Well, if you don't have a liturgy, how will I know what to do? Listen! That's all you got to do. This is not a dialogue. Just listen. Well, if you don't have a liturgy, then I can't come. I got some litter outside. Amen. A liturgy. And my wife no longer, they wouldn't come. Try to give them the gospel, amen. Places of tradition, many can't worship because of tradition or what they're used to or what they're used to hearing. If there's not somebody sitting up on the platform back here yelling at me and a woman sitting over here or some people dressed around in white to catch you when you fall out when you're slain in the spirit, then this must not be the place of worship. Some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about, but that's how I was raised. The preacher had his little entourage behind him, and they yes-man him and amen him on, and the women were dressed in white all around there waiting to catch somebody when they fell out, amen. And the folks were sitting in the back like this, and it was terrible. And I left just as confused as I came. And I was just as lost when I left the doors as when I came in. And I sang in the choir, and I read scriptures. I did all of that, and I was lost. And no one could get me saved. Places of tradition, places that are treasured. Notice verse number 21. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh, when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. In Samaria, they had a place of worship that was set up from the days of the Babylonian captivity, and they were worshiping there, and the Baal worship was set there, but the Jews were mixed with the Babylonians, so there was a half-breed of worship that was there, and that was important to the Samaritans because they weren't going to go down to Jerusalem, but then Jerusalem was there, and so they had these places that were traditional, these places that were treasured. He says, well, it's not going to be in this mountain, nor yet Jerusalem, because Jerusalem, they thought, well, if they just get to Jerusalem, that's going to be the place. Jesus said, no, it's going to come a time when it's not going to be about Samaria, it's not going to be about Jerusalem, because worship will be in the spirit and in truth. No matter where you're at, no matter where you go, you'll be able to worship. She was hung up on the place that was treasured among the Samaritans. Many can't worship because they're hung up on mega places or some special place. I'll never forget Belgium, but guess what? I can worship God just the same right here. Why? Because God is here. God is here. And so Jesus said unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. And we'll tackle the rest of these verses next week. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The Messiah would come through the Jews. By the way, there are some that are here today, and you're not sure what you're worshiping. You're looking at places treasured. You're looking at places of tradition. You're looking at people that are attractive. You're looking at a whole bunch of perceptions and a bunch of people and possessions and a whole bunch of particulars, but you're not looking at the Prince of Peace. You're not looking at He who can save. You're not looking at He who is worthy. Let me introduce Him to you. His name is Jesus Christ. His name is the King of Kings. His name is the Lord of Lords. By the way, He wants you to worship Him today. I don't know what you came to do. This woman at the well did not come to worship. She came to get some water and to go home. But she met Jesus, and Jesus says, if you're going to worship, let me show you how, and let me show you how not. She comes up with every obstacle why she shouldn't dialogue with Jesus Christ. And by the way, we do the same thing. Invitation is coming, and God may be tugging at your heart to do something, to be something, to go someplace, to confess something, to do something for His name, to witness to someone, to give a little bit more. He may be tugging at your heart, but you've got your perceptions. You've got your possessions. You've got your places treasured and your people that are attractive. You've got your places of tradition. You've got all these things, and God can't get in edgewise to allow you to worship Him because of all these distractions. I'm so glad that God finally gets through to this woman down there and begins to say in verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He still desires that today. He wants you to worship Him intellectually, emotionally, with your spiritual mind, because that's the only way it can happen. And He wants you to worship Him in truth. You say, preacher, what is truth? Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth. If we're going to worship God, it's got to be according to this book. It's got to be the way He desires. Preacher, how can I do it? The same way I did. Come humbly and say, I'm not worthy, because we're not. We're worthy of destruction and punishment in hell. That's what we're worthy of. But God has made a way for us to come into the holiest of holies through Jesus Christ. His blood was shed for you. His blood was shed for me, that we can come to worship
in spirit and truth. I've got to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection. Believe it was for me. Appropriate that death, burial, and resurrection. Exchange my sin, confessing my sin to him, repenting of sin, and receiving Christ. And then I can worship in spirit and in truth. I don't know about you today, but I know I'm not arrived yet on my worship. I struggle with my worship. Things still distract me. Things still bother me. I'm no different than you. Sometimes I'm bothered by people. I look out and say, where are they at? They should be here. Sometimes it's possessions. Lord, what are we not doing right? Sometimes it's tradition. Well, we've always done it that way. Well, because we're independent, we don't have to always do it that way. Amen. And sometimes people don't like that. They don't like that. And sometimes it bothers me. But you know what? I should be concerned about the audience of one. And that's my Lord. And if he's pleased, guess what? Everybody else, I'm sorry, because he deserves my best. And he's the one that dictates what happens in this local church. I'm so glad that I can worship him in spirit and in truth. Have I arrived? No. One day I will. But I trust that we're getting better and better and better as we get closer to his return. He seeketh such to worship him. Will you be that one today? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. As we prepare for the invitation, I wonder today, maybe you're like me. You're religious, you had your perceptions, you went to church, and you thought it should be like this, and it wasn't. Maybe God has spoken to your heart today about your need to be born again. If you died right now, are you absolutely sure that heaven is your home? Or do you have some doubts about that? If you've got a doubt about that, Jesus Christ wants to meet you just like he met the woman at the well, just like he met with Nicodemus. He wants to save you today. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I'm going to be honest and say, preacher, I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure. And here's my hand to testify. Would you pray for me, man, woman, boy, or girl, all across this room? I'm not sure I'm saved, preacher, but I'm concerned about it. The next question says, do you save people? Is your worship what it needs to be? Is it what it needs to be? When you come to the house of God, do you put aside everything and worship him and think only of him? Or do you get sidetracked sometimes? If you do, maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, work on my heart. I need to focus more on you when I come for worship. When I come back tonight, Lord, I need to be ready to focus on you. I'm weary, but I want to focus on you. I've got distractions, but I want to focus on you. I've got these other things going on in my mind, possessions and people and my past and perceptions and places of tradition and places that are treasured, but I want to focus better. Maybe tonight you need to come to an old, or this morning you need to come to an old-fashioned altar and say, Lord, when I come back tonight, I want it to be different. I want it to be fresh. I want it to be new when I come to worship. Father, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice today that if we are not worshiping in spirit and truth, Lord, you would convict us and convince us of the way you want to be worshiped. And we would come to an old-fashioned altar confessing our sins to you, that we're not worshiping the way we should. And then, Lord, we would do our dead level best to come the next time ready to worship, seeing Jesus Christ high and lifted up, seeing he who died for our sins, seeing our Redeemer. Because, Lord, one day you are going to come back and we will see you face to face. Now we just see you in spirit. But one day we'll see you face to face. But until then, may we worship you just as if you are right here sitting with us, because in spirit you are. And you want us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Convict and convince. And if there's one lost, convert that one that's lost in Jesus' name. Amen. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one looking around. Let's all stand to our feet as Miss Natasha plays Hymn of Invitation. You let God speak to your heart. Maybe you need to come down to an old-fashioned altar and say, God, I want to come and worship you the way you desire me to worship you. I want to come back the next time, and I want it to be special. I want it to be sweet. I want it to be like it was when I first got saved. I want it to be fresh. I want it to be renewed every time I come. I want to see Jesus high and lifted up. I want to worship in spirit and in truth. I don't want to come in like it's a place of tradition. I don't want to come in like it's a place that's treasured. I don't want to come in with perceptions or my past hanging over my head. I don't want to come in with people's admiration or possessions that I have or don't have. I don't want to come in any old kind of way. I want to come in and see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I want to come in, and my highest motive is to praise you, God, to worship you, to sing praises to your name. I want to open my mouth loud. I want to sing to you because I love you. I don't want it to be predictable. I don't want it to be about particulars. Oh, Lord, I want to worship you. How about you today? Maybe you need to come and say, preacher, I need to be born again. It was about this time in the service that God began dealing with my heart. And I was holding on to the pew. I didn't want to move. But I was too afraid not to move. I was afraid of slipping off into eternity and dying and going to hell. Oh, yes, God had exposed to me my sin. He exposed to me that I was on my way to a place called hell. But I heard the good news, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I wanted that, but I was afraid. If you're afraid, I understand. But would you come? Say, preacher, what will people think? Don't worry about what people think. Just think about where God wants you to go and where you're presently going, and come. Maybe you need to surrender yourself for baptism. Say, preacher, I'm already saved, but I need to be baptized. Maybe you need to come. Say, preacher, let's arrange a date when I can get baptized. I'm saved, yes, by the glory of God, I'm saved. But I need to be baptized. I need to follow the Lord and that first command of obedience. Maybe you need to come. Say, preacher, when can I get baptized? Would you come? Maybe you're saying, preacher, I'm already saved, already baptized. I need to join this local church. I don't care about places of tradition. I don't care about people or possessions. I don't care about places treasured. This is the place where God is. I want to join this local church. Maybe you need to come. Give us the right hand of fellowship. We'll tell you what you need to do to join this church. Say, preacher, what is it? You must be scripturally saved and scripturally baptized. We'll have someone talk with you, let you know what you need to do to join this church. Perhaps you are already all of those things, saved, baptized, member of this church. But the next time you come, you want it to be different, and that depends on you. You've got to come with your heart open and say, Lord, change me. Lord, use me. Lord, show me. Lord, make me. Lord, I want to worship you. And I guarantee you, God would show you. When I finally got to that point, when I said, God, whatever it is you want me to do, he said, well, son, I want you to preach. And I surrendered. And from then on, it's been a series of surrenders in my life. To do this, to do that, to go here, to go there, to say this, to say that. And perhaps today, God wants you to surrender to whatever it is he's asking you to do. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for this woman at the well. And thank you for Nicodemus, Lord, and your care for him. Lord, there's so many hindrances to our worship. We've only picked out a few throughout this passage that plagued the woman at the well from conversing with you. She came up with every excuse in the book why she should not be talking with you. And Lord, we come in the same fashion, and our worship of Almighty God is hindered in the similar fashion. Lord, help us to get away from the hindrances and to focus on you and you alone, the audience of one, our Lord, our Savior. And Lord, may we leave here renewed in our spirit, renewed in our mind, and putting aside the hindrances to worship. But Lord, coming to worship you in spirit and truth, Lord, as we assemble back tonight, as we leave now, may we leave differently than when we came in, and then when we come back tonight, help us not to come for the festivities, but to come to hear from the word of God, to praise you in spirit and in truth, to sing from a desired heart of adoration because of who you are and what you've done. And Lord, you're worthy of our worship. And oh yes, Lord, we're here. We'll come here tonight for the fellowship. But may it be paramount for the word of God, where our lives may be different each and every time we come into the presence of God. Thank you for meeting with us. Bless now the remainder of our day and the ladies' activities that will happen in Jesus' name. And for his sake, amen.